This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am your host, Layla Mutin. I'm a registered dietitian, nutritionist here in New York. Our office is open. Saw patients this week. It was so great to see you. And we had some new patients as well. Terrific. Our office is open. It's nice to see everybody there. It's nice to see staff. It's nice to see the other practitioners. It's nice to be back in the swing after such a lockdown in New York. Hey, it's also really nice to get on a pretty clean subway, the subway train, which I take to work. We're at 635 Madison Avenue. That's between 59th and 60th Street, right in the center of Midtown. If you'd like to make an appointment, call the office, 212-779-1744. 212-779-1744. If you'd like to email me with questions or topics of interest that you'd like to hear me talk about on Intelligent Medicine, that you'd like me to weigh in on, radio program at AOL.com. That's radio program at AOL.com. I want to talk to you about something important. This comes from functional medicine. Low-level lead exposure and implications for human health. I've been talking a lot about toxins recently. Yeah, we're dealing with a virus, but we're also behaving in an unprecedented way with hand sanitizers and disinfectants and all of that. I've even had people call me and say, I have itch, I have rash, I don't know what's going on, I never had this before. Wow, put down those toxic cleaners. Use some soap and water, you know, like that. So, low-level lead exposure and implications for human health. In the year 2017, lead exposure accounted for 1.06 million deaths and 24.4 million years of healthy life lost worldwide. The highest burden was in the low and middle income countries. In adults, sufficient evidence suggests that blood levels less than 5 per dL grams per DL are associated with decreased kidney function, and that blood lead levels of less than 10 are associated with increased blood pressure and hypertension. So, you know what? The patient is walking in with high blood pressure and they never did before. They're doing everything right. They're of a normal weight, all of that, and their blood pressure is still staying high. And it's not a nervous or anxious person or anything like that. Check their toxicants. Check for levels of lead. So, lead is one of the most widely used metals in the world. And although it's toxic, it's been incorporated into many different products, including paints, cosmetics. I'm going to do an aside here on the cosmetics. Ladies, and anybody who wears lipstick, there's lead in lipstick. If you wear lipstick almost on a daily basis, you are likely ingesting about 2 pounds of it a year. Sounds a little icky, doesn't it? But you know, it's on our lips. It's getting in our mouth. We're licking our lips. Ingestion that way. That's what I'm talking about. And you know, even when you've got your lipstick on and you're eating food, we're kind of getting it that way. We're ingesting about 2 pounds of lipstick a year. Isn't that strange? Isn't that interesting? Well, that's a source of lead. Be careful. In fact, go to safecosmetics.org to check out. And they go by brands and things, all kinds of personal grooming products, makeup, sunblock, all of that. And you can choose wisely. Protect yourself. So we know that lead is one of the most widely used metals in the world. And although it is toxic, it's been incorporated into many different products, including paints, cosmetics, fuel. Remember the days of leaded gasoline? I'm dating myself. Remember the days of leaded gasoline? Well, it's unleaded now. And lead levels, since they've removed the lead from gasoline, has come down in the population. And this is a good thing. And because they've taken it away, you hear that truck going by? Oh my. Okay, let's wait for it to pass. Since they've removed the lead, I remember seeing this at the Integrative Practitioner Conference a couple of years ago. I think it was Dr. Joseph Pizzorno who presented it. Since they removed the lead, lead levels in the population have gone down. So kudos to our natural detoxification and healthy livers and being able to detox that lead away. So lead is in paints, cosmetics, fuel, not so much in fuel anymore. And for its unique properties, like a low melting point and resistance to corrosion, that's why it's used. However, lead persists in the environment and cannot be metabolized in the human body. It can enter the body via a variety of routes, particles from lead-based paint or a housing renovation, can adhere to food and be ingested. And industries that use lead in manufacturing can pollute the air and soil, exposing humans via the food chain. An interesting study in 2019 looked at different sources of lead exposure in various countries. This is really interesting. This is in Environmental Health from 2019, volume 24, sources of lead exposure in various countries. Let me start with the United States. In paint, in industry, and in batteries. Just handling the batteries in your remote, the battery on your laptop, your car battery, certainly. But look at this. In Australia, lead is in paint, it's in dust. It's in imported toys. It's in traditional medicines. This is Australia. In France, it's in paint from older homes. It's in imported ceramics. It's in cosmetics. In industrial emissions. In China, it's in electronic waste. It's in traditional medicines. It's in industrial emissions. Hey, anything we're getting made in China, there will be residue there. In India, it's in cosmetics and traditional medicines. You want to be careful. If you're using medicines from India, from China, even herbs from India, from China, that they don't contain these toxicants. In Mexico, it's definitely in glazed ceramics. Hey, look at the bottom of that nice pottery you have. Are you eating soup out of that bowl? If it's coming from Mexico, it may contain some lead. What else in Mexico may contain lead? Utensils, the water. In Nigeria, it's in electronic waste. It's in paints. Lead can be absorbed by the intestines and through the skin. And almost 90% of it binds to erythrocyte proteins, meaning our red blood cells. And once inside the body, lead may travel to different tissues and organs. A 2018 study provided the first published evidence that lead exposure results in DNA damage via promoting oxidative stress and promoter methylation of DNA repair genes in human lymphoblastoid TK6 cells. So it interferes and damages DNA. That's the important take home here. This study was carried out on only one human cell line, whereas the obtained results need to be verified in multiple cell lines, certainly. And the role of DNA repair proteins in lead-induced genotoxicity is unclear. It needs further elucidation. In a well-functioning, well-detoxifying body, our DNA does get repaired. That's why it is very important to fast 12 hours every night. 12 hours is the minimum fast. The repair, the house cleaning, and including the DNA repair while we're sleeping peaks at 12 hours. It's very important to be fasting completely for 12 straight hours. That's when this DNA repair is taking place. So the study results indicate that lead exposure decreased cell viability. It induced oxidative stress-mediated DNA damage via the NRF2 ARE signaling pathway and decreased the expression of DNA repair genes. So, between the 12-hour fast and being able to detox this, lead exposure. Think about it. Think about your foreign ceramics. Think about your exposure. You're using batteries, even in municipal water systems, right? That water fountain at the park or somewhere. Lead exposure and cardiovascular disease. Cardiovascular diseases are the primary cause of mortality in the world. That's not news, right? We know this. Lead's effect on the cardiovascular system and cardiovascular-related markers have been well noted in the literature. The mechanism by which lead induces hypertension may be related to oxidative stress, inflammation, alterations in the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system. That's the system in the kidneys that is responsible for maintaining blood pressure. Alteration of the vasoactive and volume regulatory hormones and nitric oxide dysregulation, among other mechanisms. This is how lead exposure can lead to hypertension. How does it do it? It's via oxidative stress. It's via inflammation and alterations of these very important signaling hormones and the disruption of all that. A 2018 study published in The Lancet Public Health suggests that of the 2.3 million deaths every year in the United States, about 400,000 are attributable to lead exposure. 400,000, of which 250,000 are from cardiovascular disease. This estimate is about 10 times larger than previous approximations. A 2019 U.S. cross-sectional study showed that lead exposure affects cardiovascular markers in young and middle-aged adults, ages between 18 and 65 years old, with higher exposure increasing with age and generally resulting in worse health outcomes. The study suggests that increasing levels of lead exposure may contribute to people being propelled toward various cardiovascular pathologies. Other conditions associated with lead exposure include cardiovascular disease due to the shortening of telomeres and disturbance of our lipids, cholesterols, triglycerides, peripheral arterial disease, electrocardiographic abnormalities, left ventricular hypertrophy. So all kinds of derangements with our arteries. Kidney damage via oxidative stress and lipid peroxidation, the oxidation of lipids, respiratory, neurologic, digestive, and urinary diseases. These are conditions associated with lead exposure. In children, there is no identifiable threshold or, quote, safe, end quote, blood lead level below which no risk of poor developmental or intellectual function is expected. Young children are particularly vulnerable to lead poisoning because they absorb 4 to 5 times as much ingested lead as adults from a given source. That's a lot of 4 to 5 times more ingested lead, and their bodies are little. Think about that. Think of the concentration of that. 4 million U.S. households with children are exposed to high lead levels, and approximately 500,000 U.S. children age 1 to 5 years have blood lead levels higher than 5 micrograms per dL, the level at which public health action is recommended. Lead exposure can do all kinds of things. That childhood blood lead level was also significantly associated with lower conscientiousness and agreeableness and higher neuroticism in adulthood. Wow. So neuroticism, not just associated to this pandemic, but higher lead levels. A study published in Environmental Health Perspectives found that there is no safety margin at existing exposures. Despite seeing a reduction in lead exposure over time, Kohler et al., these were the authors, state that it could be argued that current baseline blood levels continue to constitute a global public health risk. Now, observational studies have found an association between prenatal exposure to lead and an increased risk of schizophrenia and antisocial behaviors in adulthood. A 2017 Journal of the American Association study linked higher childhood lead exposure with lower IQ scores and downward social mobility in adulthood. And a population-based case control study suggests that exposure to lead may also be associated with an increased risk for neonatal orofacial clefts. Oh, the clefts. Oh, no. It is interesting to note that while thousands of children in the U.S. have elevated blood lead concentrations, many of them are asymptomatic. The primary concern in this group is that multiple meta-analyses have demonstrated that even at low blood lead concentrations, there's an inverse relationship between blood lead concentrations and intelligence quotient scores and markers of academic achievement. Furthermore, some research suggests that the dose-dependent curve is steeper at lower blood lead concentrations, meaning that the number of IQ points lost per unit increase in blood lead concentration is higher in the 1 to 10 microgram per deciliter lead range than in the 10 to 20 microgram DL range. Wow. So a recent study suggests that the regular consumption of beverages in glazed ceramic cups increase the chances of lead-related health risks. Check your glazed ceramics, people. The chronic daily intake of lead by children and adults, respectively, consuming from new ceramic cups, were 5 times to 6 times more than from old ceramic cups. In both cases, intake values far exceeded the World Health Organization reference doses. According to the study, these levels of lead consumption in children might be predicted to be associated with a decrement in IQ by at least a point and associated with adverse effects in adults, especially in women of childbearing age. Now, studies also suggest that lead is a carcinogenic factor in animal models, and epidemiological studies have suggested an association between blood lead concentration and death rate due to cancer in a number, that's another truck rolling by, blood lead concentration and death rate due to cancer in a number of populations, including the U.S., South Korea, and Australia. In June 2018, the first study to demonstrate urinary lead concentration as an independent predictor of cancer mortality in the general population was published in Frontiers in Oncology. Using National Health and Nutrition Examination survey data and its mortality follow-up study, researchers found that despite the marked decrease in environmental lead levels over the past 3 decades, lead exposure remains a significant determinant of cancer mortality in general population in the U.S., and quantification of urinary lead may serve as a non-invasive approach to facilitate biomarker discovery and clinical translational research. So, the most important aspect of management in a patient with an elevated blood lead concentration is identifying the source of the lead and removing it from the patient's environment. And optimizing a patient's nutritional status is also important, with particular attention ensuring adequate iron, calcium, and zinc. So this is all important in reducing not just the lead exposure, but maintaining or identifying any nutrient deficiencies and addressing those as well. So there are still implications in health due to even the lower amounts of lead in the environment. Something to think about. Food for thought. So that's my way in this week, and I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.